This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Story. Chapter 49. Tom paid no attention to Silas when he heard him curse. The cruel sound was behind him and coincided with a rush of air, rubber rumbling on road. Silas reached for the ring on his other hand, but in his fury and confusion fumbled the wheel before he got there. Tom leapt from the seat, diving into a burling, twirling world of sudden trees, screaming metal and snapping wood. 2 feet from his head, hidden rock and spinning wheels, tires bounce, 2, 4, an eerie, dreamy silence, a pre-bomb beat of dead air as Tom hit the ground. He bounced, rolling in soft muddy grass while above him, the door twisted and slammed back against the space he'd just left. Headlights soared, twin cones painting the canopy. A bird, frozen in flight, spread wings, mid-flap. A brief flash before the violent thunder of crashing, smashing metal. The cones rolled and fell. The car slowed sideways, missing the thick trunk of the tree, careering back to the curving road, crossing it, flying and flipping over a small embankment, crushing a flimsy, fine mesh fence. As Tom tumbled to a dazed halt, he was vaguely aware of Silas's crash. He could not see, but heard the landing, the crump, the crunch of glass, the high-pitched whine of an engine racing. On its roof, its back wheels spun dry, mud splattering spray, wooden posts and steel wire either side of the car suddenly wrenched from the ground, flinging themselves at the car, pounding on its panels. The engine coughed to a halt. Tom crawled towards the road. The world around him illuminated by flashes of brilliant white that, although in his head, gave the illusion that he was surrounded by phantom paparazzi popping their cameras to pulse the night ground to a psychedelic strobe-lit day. Standing slowly, he tamed his vision, orientated himself with what was around him. At first, a little confused, he satisfied himself that if he was injured, it was hidden beneath the collection of cuts and bruises he'd accrued in the lab. He stood motionless, watching the steady headlights stab the field across the road, the dim white of bobbing sheep sprinting to grey and then to black. Tom waited for Silas to rise from the wreck. He did not consider rushing to his aid. Something within him knew that the man was alive. He had not survived all these years to die so easily. No, he was dangerous. For all Tom knew, the man was on his way to kill him. Even now. He moved cautiously into the road, crossing well away from the car, keeping his distance until he could be sure that the predator was not stalking towards him. 2 minutes of hissing steam, cooling, ticking metal, and Tom edged forward, still hugging the road, ready to hide at the first sound. But still, there was nothing. Nearing the crash, Tom saw a broken branch in the wash of reflected light. He picked it up and raised it, two-handed, before him. Silas, if he was lucky, would still think he could bring him down, and Tom hoped that this would make him careless. his heart pulsing pure adrenaline, Tom felt strong, angry. He edged towards the light. Closer now. The doors on either side were crushed and twisted open. The roof buckled. The cabin, however, as far as he could see, still large enough to hold a man. The interior light, the flush of blue from the expensive dashboard, cast a surreal glow on the soft cream of the inverted roof. The driver was gone. Hackles rising, Tom spun around, expecting attack from behind, but he was quite alone. Everything in him told the boy to run, to get away from there as fast as his feet would fly. But he had to know. And in some dark place, a part of him wondered what he would do with the club if he found him hurt and helpless. Could Tom really be the murderer he thought he was at Creggan? Satisfied that there was no one about to attack him from the rear, Tom inched forward, ducking his head, searching for the monster who had terrorized his family, who'd abused the title father. And oh, the club felt good. He could see the back of the seat through the open door, but still no sign of Silas. He stopped and looked around again, listened and moved forward. Close enough to peer through the painless side window, he froze, his confidence failing with the hope of finding a wounded and helpless Silas. The cabin was empty. Confused but still determined to confront the man, Tom ducked to his knees, a sudden smell of fuel clawing at his throat. He looked in the back, poked his head through the gap of the tortured door. Silas had vanished. Tom staggered to his feet and ran back from the light. He crouched low in the darkness, watched and waited. In another time, and in other circumstances, he would have searched the area until he found the victim of such a crash. Perhaps he had been thrown clear. Perhaps, like Tom, he jumped or simply left the scene dazed and confused. But perhaps, too, he was watching him now, waiting to make his move. Perhaps he was twisting the ring, furious at the uselessness of it. But Tom was terrified of one thing only, that Silas was already on his way to Creggan. Even if he was out there injured, would he soon recover and launch his resources, his enormous wealth and power to get to Catriona and their father before Tom? He would waste no more time. Deciding what to do, he retreated back up the road, turned towards the vague outline of the mountain leading to Creggan, and stumbled across the dark, rough ground towards it. Chapter 50. It took Tom 2 hours to reach the path, and in that 2 hours, each step carried him closer to who he was. The boy stumbled through field and fern. The ground was mostly flat, sloping slightly from right down to left. Ahead, the grassy mountain rose unseen. There, obscured by the night, the path he was looking for cut across his direction of travel. Sooner or later he had to cross it. Somewhere to his left, Lochranza slept, and he allowed the ground to push him that way, hoping to find a small road or track leading to the path. Countless fences crossed his route, and more than once Tom fled from one field to another as some animal, he always assumed was a monstrous bull, lumbered towards him through the murk. The total darkness beyond the car headlights had turned to dim shapes lurking in a world of moonless shadows. But soon, even that light vanished as a freshening breeze swept an ever-thickening cloud base over his head to kill the guiding gloom. Every few steps, he had to stop and peer ahead. He forced himself to caution, terrified of getting lost or trapped in some hole. His chance to get to Creggan before Silas forever gone. And always there, The nightmare image of the man swooping from the sky to reach Catriona haunted him. How could he have brought such misery on the girl and her father? He pushed on, concentrating every effort on moving forward. He was fighting through waist-high thorns when some tipping point, a coincidence of blocked moon, thick clouds, nearby trees and tiredness, caused the world around him to vanish as though he'd just donned a black sack over his head. It pressed on his face and physically pushed him back so that he had to sway to find his balance. Something, probably a bat, swooped close to his ear. Tom tumbled backwards in fright, his clothes clawed by hooks, a thousand curved thorns grappling him to the ground, refusing to let him go until they had bled him. When he gained his feet, he cursed the black pit that had swallowed the night. He could no longer see the subtle shades of black outlining the curve of the hill, and the infernal bracken became a malevolent infestation, stinging and stabbing, taunting and clinging. He tried looking askance, as he'd done with the deer so very long ago, but the night was thick and fat and fast, and as impenetrable as the malicious bush gripping him. Stretching his arms, he felt his way ahead, fingers tipping lightly over the dense vegetation. This action, his arms outstretched through the black, reminded him of his experience in the cave, and immediately, on making the connection, Tom sensed a strange glow from everything around him, as though the grass, the trees, the mountains, and the ground itself had suddenly acquired the gift of light. But Tom recognized the effect. He did not understand how it was happening, but at this point he didn't care. Around him, everywhere, the land turned luminescent. He focused on whatever detail lurched his way, trying to sharpen the effect in his mind. The light was a faint blue, but to his right a hint of green soon formed itself into the strangest looking tree he'd ever seen. It was blurred, deliberately it seemed, as though its maker had yet to decide its exact shape. Around him, the thorns became a smoky brown mass wafting back and forth as though anchored and blown by a shifting slow-mo breeze. He hadn't heard it before, but now the sound of running water gurgled through the brightening scenery. The world he looked on was not some strange sketch, but a tangible reality where, directly in front of him, a kilometre from where he stood, the mountain seemed to drift out of the darkness and present itself to him. The undulating ground to his right, solid and now bright as a day lit from within. Above, a cloudless night sky glittered with black satin sequins. He looked to his left and his heart leapt with sudden excitement. No more than 20 meters away, a ghostly fence cut the ground. To its right, the bloody thorns, to its left, a shaven lawn so massive that Tom knew before he saw the smoky flags that the smooth carpeted landscape was that of a golf course. Ignoring the pain, his shredded clothes, he battled back the way he came, skirted the thorns and made for the fence on easy ground. He stared at the waist-high wire. It ran from fuzzy post to fuzzy post. Tom inched his hand down towards the horizontal line as though expecting the thing to slice his fingers. When he felt nothing at the point of touch, or rather, the point of no touch, the hazy, linear smudge dropped a fraction, repelled it seemed by his skin. He continued chasing the ghostly barrier for a further half hand and then, at last, when he began to think it would sink to the ground, found the solid object he knew had to be there. The line stopped moving, solidified and thinned. He ran his fingers left and right, recognizing the smooth slide of clean wire. The smoky haze continued to coalesce, changing colour as it did until the line became unmistakably metallic. Tom stretched one leg and then another over the fence and felt the smooth, cultivated turf under his feet. If he had not been so worried about Catriona and her father, the boy would have cried for joy. Instead, he looked ahead, saw the unmistakable scar running across the hill, and headed as fast as his sanity would let him towards it. Tom was amazed how quickly he became accustomed to the weird environment that surrounded him. He grew bolder with each minute, so that when he found a small footbridge crossing a stream, he did not stop to test the platform for safety or even reality, but bounded across the thing in three leaping strides. He barely noticed the water flowing from right to left under his feet, its presence highlighted by shimmering eddies, wispy groups of dark and pale blue swirling and bubbling softly towards the sea. At last, after vaulting a high fence, Tom jumped onto a track which, even in the midst of surreality, he immediately recognised as the connecting link between road and footpath he remembered from his journey to the village. He picked up his speed and ran and ran and ran. The path should have been easy, but the gift of light soon became a handicap. Although the edges of the trail were defined accurately, the surface was not. It seemed as though a soft blanket of steam hung over the ground, and Tom realised, in a bizarre link with logic, that the map, for want of a better word, did not contain the detail of every rock and stone under his feet. He stumbled as one foot after another landed in one of the thousands of stones and slid or rolled, making Tom fall again and again so that he was forced to slow his run to a jog and then to a crawl. When he reached the saddle summit, he stood on the crest and caught his breath, sweat and blood and mud covering his wretched body. He desperately needed to stop, to recover for just 2 minutes before running down the other side, but he knew too, he could not afford the time. Heart and breath and feet pounding, he careered, almost beyond control, towards his old home. And 15 minutes later, he looked down on Cregan's roof. A confused, emotional mashup threatened to make him shout for joy, cry in sorrow, and scream an angry challenge to the world to leave her alone. There, in the bright glow of lamplight, standing on the rock, their rock, Catriona peered up the hill, blind to his presence. Tom bolted down the path towards her. DreamWorks.com.